Fox Connor. Does anyone recognize the name? Maybe some history buffs among you? Fox Connor. No? Well, don't feel bad. I never heard of him either. This is a man who didn't write any memoirs. He didn't pursue political office. But he was an incredible mentor. And I'm going to mention two people he mentored who I know you will recognize. You ready? George S. Patton and Dwight D. Eisenhower. Fox Connor was the mentor to both. He was among the most influential American generals in World War II. Despite the fact that he retired in 1938, and that's 3 years before the U.S. even entered the Second World War. Listen to what his mentees said about him. Dwight D. Eisenhower. Now look at who Dwight D. Eisenhower served under. This is an American history all-star list. Dwight D. Eisenhower commanded or worked closely with the following individuals: General John Pershing, Douglas MacArthur, George C. Marshall, the one who created the Marshall Plan, Omar Bradley, and George S. Patton, Jr. Every one of those men is well known in American history. But when Eisenhower was asked, who is the greatest American soldier? You know his response. Let me read the quote to you. In sheer ability and character, Fox Connor was the outstanding soldier of my time. In fact, Eisenhower would later go on to say this about Fox Connor: he was the ablest man I ever knew. How'd you like that as an epitaph? So as you open your Bible this morning, we're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 19, starting with verse 19. That's 1 Kings chapter 19. Verse 19, we're going to look at a mentor-mentee relationship where the mentee, Elisha, would have said something similar about his mentor, Elijah. Because Eisenhower, the mentee in this case, and Elisha were both leaders who eclipsed their very able mentors. And why? Well, their respective mentors, Major General Fox Connor and the prophet Elijah, involved them in their work. And it's this essential aspect of mentoring that I want to talk about with this morning. A mentor involves his mentee in his work and mission. So what does involving a mentee look like? Well, the first place I always go to is the Webster's Dictionary. And I was curious to see some of the definitions that Webster's gives us for involving or involving someone. And here are some of the definitions I found. To engage as a participant, to oblige, to take part, to occupy or to commit emotionally. And as I was reading through these definitions, I kept scrolling down and then I found this old English definition. Listen to it. To surround as if with a wrapping, to envelop. Let me say that again. To surround as if with a wrapping, to envelop. Now listen to the text for this morning. 1 Kings 19, we're going to start with verse 19 through 21. Read along with me. So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders, that's Elisha's shoulders, and then walked away. Elijah essentially enveloped Elisha with his cloak. And by wrapping his cloak around Elijah, Elijah was saying, you are going to be my successor. You're going to follow in my footsteps. And notice Elisha's response to God's call to mentorship from Elijah. Continue to read along with me. We're still 19, and we're looking at verses 20 and 21. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, first let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. Elijah replied, go on back, but think about what I've done to you. So Elijah returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. What a beautiful picture of obedience, immediate obedience, I might add, and commitment. Elisha said goodbye to his parents, killed all his livestock, had a big party in the town, gave away all his stuff, and followed Elijah. And by burning and slaughtering the livestock, he was essentially saying, men, there's no going back. That's it. I'm fully committed to go with Elijah. There's no turning back to my old way of life. That's complete trust, obedience, and commitment. And what a great lesson that is for us, gentlemen. If you want to be a mentee like Elisha, it's not enough to say, yeah, I'm all for this mentoring stuff. I want a mentor. Or, hey, can you mentor me? You have to totally commit to the process, and you have to commit to the relationship. And Elisha is a great example of a man who unequivocally committed to the process with his mentor, Elijah. He gave up everything, and he followed Elijah for 6 years, right up to the time he was taken to heaven. But also notice that the mentor, Elijah, didn't beg Elisha to follow me. He basically put his cloak over his shoulders and walked away. And if you look at the second part of verse 20 again, when Elisha says, hey, let me go and say goodbye to my parents first, Elijah replies, go back, but think about what I have done to you. Many of you are probably thinking, hey, you know, that sounds really familiar. I think I've read something similar to that before in the text. And you're right. If you go to Luke 9, you'll see that's where Jesus says to the young man, follow me. And the young man says, hey, let me first go back and bury my father. You remember how Jesus replies? Hey, let the dead bury the dead. So what is Jesus and what is Elijah? What are they implying there? It's like, I don't want someone who's half-hearted. You're either all in or you're not. Because I, the mentor, am going to pour myself into you. I'm going to really invest in you. So you better have some skin in the game. And gentlemen, if you're going to mentor someone, make sure that they have skin in the game. Involve them in projects. One of my early mentors in my mid-30s was my CEO, Clark American Checks, in San Antonio, Texas, since merged with Harlan Checks, which is here in Atlanta, and they're now Harlan Clark. He was my mentor, and he was responsible for developing me into the general manager of the banking division. The two other general managers were decade plus older than me, had MBAs, I didn't have anything, but for some reason, he saw something in me, and he spent an incredible amount of time with me. We'd meet every Friday, 6 a.m. We didn't have a Friday morning men's fellowship in San Antonio at the time. We'd meet at Cracker Barrel, and he would really pour himself into me. But you know what he also did? He gave me the project lead of a number of major projects that would change the business of the corporation. That was a lot of work, folks, a lot of work. But he was with me every step of the way, and he would invest weekends with me away from his family. But he knew if he was going to spend time in me and mentor me, I had to be on board fully as well. So let me ask you, gentlemen, if you're mentoring someone, or maybe you're a mentee with someone, are you all in? Are you truly committed like Elijah and Elisha? It's a lot of work, but boy, that relationship is rewarding. And what does your involvement look like when you involve someone? Good mentors don't coddle their mentees and their proteges. They make sure that their mentees are involved and allowed to fail so they learn from their mistakes. But ask yourself, are you fully committed to the process and the relationship? Don't mentor someone who's only half-hearted. And Elisha certainly understood this principle. He spent 6 full years following his mentor all the way to the end until he was miraculously whisked into heaven in a whirlwind. I want to look at that supernatural whirlwind. If you could continue to turn your Bible over to 2 Kings chapter 2. Let's look at the first two verses. Chapter 2 of 2 Kings. Listen to it if you're not there. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will never leave you." 3 times, Elijah tells his mentee, "Hey, I'm getting ready to go to heaven. Stay here." And 3 times, Elisha says, "I'm never going to leave you." Think again to the New Testament. Where else have you heard something similar like that? Now, Peter knew the text, and Peter's the one who told his Savior, "I'm not going to leave you." And I know Peter must have been thinking about this story in the Old Testament. Look at the commitment. He wouldn't leave Elijah's side until God took his mentor. That's persistence. That's commitment to the relationship all the way from the time Elijah put his cloak around the shoulders of Elisha to the time God whisked him back up to heaven. It's beautiful. Elijah stayed committed. And when Elijah finally did leave, right before he left, he asked his mentee, he said, "Hey, what can I do for you, Elisha, before I'm taken away?" And how does his mentee respond? Does he say, "Hey, can you give me more wealth? How about some more fame?" No, he says, "I want to do twice as much for God as you did, Elijah." Listen to verse 9. When they came to the other side of the Jordan, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken away?" And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor." "Elijah, I want to be your successor, and I want to be used even in greater ways than you are by God." That's someone who's been well prepared by his mentor. And if you were actually going, look at the number of miracles that Elijah performed. You'd see that he performed 8, and his mentee actually performed 16, twice as many. And by the way, for you trivia buffs, if you've ever wondered where the idiom "take up the mantle" comes from, it's right here. It's from Elisha's call. And the expression means to pass an office from a mentor to a student. To take up the mantle. Gentlemen, I think you've all heard at some point in your life the question, what's your legacy going to be? And let me tell you, I used to hate it when somebody asked me that at work. I hated it. Why did that question bother me? Because, gents, there's no real lasting legacy in business. There's no real lasting legacy in business. I challenge any of you who've worked for a large corporation to tell me who the last 3 CEOs were. Let me make it a little more personal. I bet most of you here today or listening online can't tell me about your great-great-grandfather. One person, congratulations. Think about, that's our seed line. No, the legacy you build is in your house. It's with your direct family. So if you're not mentoring anyone, you should at least be mentoring your kids and your grandkids, involving them in your work and in your life purpose. Are you spending quality time with them? You know, I have a sibling who thinks of quality time as sitting in front of a television with his kids. That's not quality time. And by the way, for those of you who said, I'm retired, guess what? It's no excuse. Because General Fox Connor mentored George S. Patton and Dwight D. Eisenhower even after he was retired. Connor developed and nurtured a love of history in Dwight D. Eisenhower that he never existed before he met Fox Connor. Listen to what Fox Connor made Eisenhower do. He would make him read biographies on historical figures like Napoleon, and he made him read historical classics like Clausewitz's On War, and then he would test Eisenhower daily on the subject matter, and then he would go through and he'd refight these battles and wars with Eisenhower, looking at all the good and bad things that happened, really dissecting the errors that were made. He prepared Eisenhower, and this little known mentor, Fox Connor, helped prepare his mentee, Dwight D. Eisenhower, to take up the mantle to become one of the most influential figures in the Second World War and to become the 34th president of the United States. You can make a difference. Let's pray. Lord, what a privilege it is to have you identify someone for us to mentor or to be mentored by. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be completely committed in the relationship so we can grow or be grown to do great things for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thanks. Have a great time at your tables.